It's been a little time since I've been with you. Matter of fact, I got to thinking about it, and the last time I was here was right before you called your pastor for a couple of weeks. So it's good to be back. I want to share just a word with you before I bring the message. And if someone, where did he go? Could get me a little bottle of water? I sung too much. A little over 4 years ago, I retired, and my role changed drastically from being a full-time pastor to taking on different responsibilities in the church. And the first thing that occurred to me was, I'm a layperson. And I began to think about what my role was. And the Lord led me to a passage of Scripture, actually, and thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much. And I want to share that with you because I'm excited for you that you have called Brother Will as your pastor. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. You ought to mark that and remember this. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. Your role is to pray, love, support, and be an encourager to your pastor. And anytime you and I step beyond the boundaries of that role, Satan's going to take it and use it in a destructive way. His role is to lead, and he is accountable for how he leads. So don't do anything that would grieve him, but support him and love him, encourage him. I share this at other churches. I wish I could share it at every church. I cannot. But I share it at other churches, and I just encourage you to be behind your pastor. We live in difficult times, and they need all of your love and support that they can possibly get. Doesn't mean you're always going to agree. I don't always agree with my pastor. I'm at Hilldale Baptist Church. Brother Larry knows that. But at the same time, I'm never critical. I'm always loving, supportive, and encouraging to him. And I pray for him because I don't want to do anything that might possibly grieve him. And he's not perfect. He's flawed. Your pastor's not perfect. He's flawed. By the way, you are too. We are sinners saved by grace. None of us are perfect. So just encourage you as you think about your role. Now, I want to get into the message. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to the book of Mark, or your device, whatever you may use, iPad, phones, whatever it may be, I would encourage you to turn to Mark chapter 11. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. On the next day, when they left Bethany, became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. And then, and skip down to verse 20, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. I have several books with different church signs on it. I had a very loving family who loved me very much when I was a full-time pastor, and every year they gave me a book with church signs. And so I have several books with church signs, and one of my favorite is this: God is looking for spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. You know, there's a lot of people who claim to be religious today. Folks, listen to me. You can go to the church of Satan and be religious. It's not about religion. It's all about a relationship that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that we're in a relationship, and part of that relationship means that you and I are to bear spiritual fruit. Matter of fact, Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7:20, you will recognize them. Recognize who? Recognize those who have a relationship with me, those who are growing and maturing in their faith and becoming a disciple. You'll recognize them how? By their fruit. I tell folks all the time, I can't judge anyone. I'm not the judge. Judgment means taking some kind of action, but you can recognize somebody by their fruit. Their spiritual fruit. I'm not sure who it was early in my ministry, but someone shared with me, said there's three F's that you always need to remember in ministry. And I thought, what in the world is that? And he said, it's facts, faith, and feelings. And here was the message that we were hearing years ago. Our relationship with the Lord begins when we hear the facts or the truth of God's Word about our sin and His grace. We respond to these facts in faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And then comes those feelings of inner peace and joy that only the Holy Spirit of God, who now resides in us, can bring to our hearts and our lives. I was actually in a ministry for some time before I began to realize there's a fourth F in the Christian life, and it's called fruit. Listen to the words of John 15:8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. If you want to bring glory to God, you have a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. The way to bring glory to Him is to bear spiritual fruit. Matter of fact, Paul gave us a list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are spiritual fruits. When the Word of God speaks about spiritual fruit, listen, it has to do with our conduct. It has to do with our character. For example, fruit of the Spirit is love. We're to love each other. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 13, listen to His words. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, don't miss this, as I have loved you. How did He love us? Unconditionally. We don't always love that way, do we? Fruit of the Spirit. Nowhere can you find a clearer picture of the spiritual reality, I think, than in our text. It's the final week. Passover has just started. Jesus and His disciples are leaving Bethany. They're on their way. They're traveling toward Jerusalem when He sees a fig tree. It had all the signs of vitality. Why would I say that? Because fig trees, they would have what they call the early figs. We refer to that as first fruits. There'd be the early figs, and then all the leaves would come. So once you saw the leaves, that was a sure sign that there was fruit on that tree. It was the fruit, early fruit, and then the leaves, and that would have been a sure sign. Yes, here it is, man, but when He pushed the leaves back, there was no fruit. So he pronounced a curse on a tree, saying, no one will ever eat from it again. What Jesus saw, I believe, was something that we need, the symbols that he was sharing with us, is something we've got to grasp today. Yes, no doubt he was talking about, referring back to the temple. And no doubt there was, in my mind, that when you think about the temple, they had all the presence of life and vitality. They were seemingly were busy and excited and carrying on the work of the Lord. But in reality, there was nothing spiritual about it. There was no spiritual fruit. God's house had become characterized by exploitation and thieves and money changers. And he said, you have ceased to be a house of prayer. It had been perverted from its intended purpose. So after spending that day in Jerusalem, they returned to Bethany that night. And the next morning, we pick it up, and that's when he begins. We find a story about him actually cursing the tree. Now, there's two things that ought to get our attention. First of all, this is the only second totally destructive miracle, maybe the only one, really, when you stop and think about it. There were the swine that he cast off the mountain into the river. And now here's this tree that he curses because it has no figs. It had all the appearance, but there were no figs. And then in verse 13, we find the words, but it was not the season for figs. And so it raises the question, why in the world would Jesus be upset when it's not the season for figs? Well, it was the season for the early first fruit, but not the season when it would have been in full force. In Israel, the disciples would have clearly understood exactly what it is that Jesus was saying. You have all the outward appearance of being productive, but there's barrenness when the leaves are pushed back. I have to ask the question, and I think it's worth something contemplating in each of our lives. If the leaves, figuratively speaking, is pushed back in our lives, if the Lord was to push that aside, and he knows all things, you understand that, right? There's nothing hidden from the Lord in any shape, form, or fashion. Would he find spiritual fruit in our lives? Or would he look and say, there's nothing there but spiritual barrenness? What would he find? You know, anyone who claims to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a position to grow and mature in our faith and our walk with him. The Holy Spirit of God, God himself, actually residing in us. And as a result of that, he produces that which we cannot produce within ourselves. And that means that there is the ability to produce spiritual fruit, to be growing and maturing in our faith and our walk with the Lord. Every once in a while, someone will come up to me and say, do you believe in once saved, always saved? Yes. I know where it's coming from as soon as they say that. Does that mean then that you can live any way you want to live? You're saved once and forever, so now you can't lose your salvation. So does that mean that you can go out here and do anything you want to do and you never have to worry about losing your salvation? Now I'm going to get a short answer to that. No. Now I'm going to give you the long answer. No. You cannot. It's an impossibility, actually. It's an oxymoron, if you want to put it that way. Absolutely not. Folks, when you and I are saved by God's grace, one of the sure signs of our salvation experience is that the Holy Spirit is changing our hearts, renewing our minds. That transformation is taking place, and it's our desire now to be pleasing to Him, and we grow and we mature and we desire to be pleasing to Him by producing spiritual fruit and doing those things that bring glory to Him. We are in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Does that mean that there won't be times when we fail? Yes, we will. Does that mean there won't be times when we sin? We will. But listen, we need to repent and confess. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to restore us, and we keep moving forward for His honor and glory. But for the individual who goes around saying, I've got my ticket to heaven, I have accepted Jesus, that's all that matters, and now I'm going to go out here and live any way I want to live, it doesn't matter, because when I die, man, salvation is eternal. Listen, I wouldn't give you a good hallelujah for the opportunity of going to heaven. I'm not the judge, but you'll know them by their fruit. And when someone makes that kind of claim and yet they want to live a life in sin, there is no reason, to believe that they have truly been saved. Having said that, there's a real danger here when we give the appearance of having a walk with the Lord, when in reality we are far removed. When the leaves are pushed back, perhaps there's three things I could share with you I think the Lord's looking for this morning. When the leaves are pushed back, first of all, He wants to see if there's the fruit of a holy life. Holy does not mean perfect, but a life that is separated to Him and for Him. Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for holiness, for without it no one will see the Lord. Strive for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness is not an option. It's God separating us. It is the process of the Holy Spirit as He works in us to move us away from the things of the world and more toward the things of God. It is the work that He does in us so that He can do a work through us. Gandhi, the Hindu leader of the Indian people, had attended a Christian church in South Africa for a number of weeks while he was a student there. He read the New Testament, believe it or not, in those several weeks, a number of times. And before leaving, he made this statement. I quote, "I got the impression that Christians were just a group of worldly-minded people who went to church for conformity to a custom. I have the highest admiration for the Christian life and for the Christ of the Bible. And I might have become a Christian if I could have seen one." Wow. Let me ask you a question. If someone was to study your life and spend time with you, would they have a desire to come to know Christ? When I'm talking to someone, they usually ask the question, "Does so-and-so go to your church?" When I was a full-time pastor, immediately the red flag went up. I said, "Okay, I'm ready for it." Yes, they do. One or two things was always true. They were going to say, "Man, I tell you what, after looking at that individual's life, I have a burning desire. I've been looking for a good church. I'd like to come to your church because if that's what you all are teaching, if that's what you're promoting, if that's what you all are implementing, I want to be a part of it because I see Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all over that person's life." Or sometimes I hear the opposite. "Man, I've been watching that individual and their actions, their language, their attitude. If that's what it means to be a Christian, forget it." You know what I'm talking about. Our lives are not to be different just for the sake of being different, but because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we want to be pleasing to God. And if that's not true about our lives, then we got some things in our life we need to deal with called sin. And we need to repent and confess our sins before a holy God so that our lives can literally become a highway over which God can accomplish His plan and His purpose. And if we're going to bear fruit, spiritual fruit of holiness, we've got to get this into our hearts. Holiness, listen, holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness. We need to understand that. Well, perhaps there's a second fruit. If we push back the leaves, I think the Lord's not only going to be looking for holiness, but He's going to be looking to see if there is the fruit of humble service. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians 2:8-9. We're saved by grace through faith, not that of ourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we stop. We stop. In the Greek, it's one full sentence, and it goes all the way through verse 10, which simply says, we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus. Don't stop at verse 9. What was Paul saying? You were saved for a purpose. That purpose is to bear fruit. It is that which is done through humble service. You were saved for a purpose. You know, there's too many people in the church today. I'm convinced. I go to a lot of different churches and preach. Listen, let me tell you something. God didn't call you and I to be spectators and fans. He called you and I to be followers, to be disciples, to be about kingdom work, to be involved. We're not set to simply sit and soak and sour until the Lord returns. We're saved to serve and to do so with all humility and humbleness. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years, everything we truly believe, we obey. And everything else is just talk. If we really believe it, we do it. Otherwise, it just sounds good and we're just talking about it. That's all. Years ago, Merv Griffin's show, he was interviewing some of these bodybuilders, and he asked a very good question. He said, what are all those muscles for? Well, one guy got up, and boy, he was doing this, you know, and all these poses and everything. And so he said, yeah, I see that, but what are your muscles for? And another guy got up, and he did the same thing, you know. He really started putting on a show for everybody. Finally, Merv got the message. All those muscles were for show. They didn't lift anything, push anything, carry anything. They were simply to be admired. Can I tell you something, folks? God didn't save you to be admired. He saved you to bear spiritual fruit. He has a purpose for your life. You and I can know all the truths of the Bible. I've seen this happen, matter of fact. I have a good friend. I love her to death. She shared with me not long ago, she said, I've done 15 Bible studies now. I said, fantastic. That's wonderful. I'm talking about in-depth studies. I said, I understand. That's great. But you know what the problem is? I cannot tell one change in her life. I love her, but I can't see any changes. What's going on? We gain knowledge for the sake of gaining knowledge, but yet we're not experiencing a spiritual transformation that needs to come about. Listen, you can go from one study to the next, but what good will it do us if it doesn't move us to begin to bear spiritual fruit, the fruit of humble service? We're not just here to be admired, but to bring glory to God and His kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Third, I think if he pushed the leaves back, the third thing he would find would be the fruit of personal witness. I've noticed something over the years. We have a lot of excuses we make for never sharing our faith. Well, I'm not comfortable doing it. Well, who said anything about being a disciple would be comfortable? You know, sometimes somebody will say to me, you know, Brother Mike, I'd just let go and I'd really surrender, but I'm scared to death. God may want me to go to Africa. So, then go. What's it all about? Is it about him or is it about what you want? And you see, when it comes to witnessing, we have our excuses. Well, what if they ask the question about the Bible? Well, let them ask. You know, listen, folks, let me tell you something. I've had people ask me questions about the Bible when I begin to witness them. And sometimes I'll look at them and say, I don't have any idea. I just want you to come to know that you're a sinner in need of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have the answer to that. I'll try to find the answer to that. But your need is salvation. We have all of our different excuses. But let me tell you something. When we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we begin to share with others. I love the story I heard years ago. And matter of fact, the man was literally on his deathbed, and he shared this. And he said, I've heard a lot of preaching in my lifetime. And I know I'm in a good church. But now I'm about to die. He said, I'm not afraid to die. That's not it. But he said, I'm ashamed to die because God gave me so many opportunities in my lifetime and I missed opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Let me tell you something. God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The question is, what are we going to do with those opportunities? Here's a good question. If your heart would stop beating in the next few minutes, would you go to heaven empty-handed? If the leaves were pushed back, what would God find? Or would someone come up to you? Here's what I'm hoping, praying for. You know what's going to be the most blessed thing ever? One day when I'm in heaven, I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody comes up to me and says, Mike, I'm here in heaven today because you love me enough and cared enough to share Jesus with me. What a difference that makes. Every one of us who bears the name of Christ should be a faithful witness. Sometimes I'll hear, well, that's the preacher's job. Nah, wrong. It's every born-again believer's job. It's our opportunity. It's our privilege. It's our joy to be able to share with others. I had a good dream one night, and I want to close with this. I dreamed I found a cure for cancer. Anyone ever dealt with cancer? Yeah. Let me see your hand. You ever dealt with cancer in your family one way or another? Anybody? Yeah, several of you. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? A cure for cancer. Well, what are you going to do with that? I'm going to every medical institution and I'm going to begin to share as fast as I can share so everybody that has cancer can be healed. But everybody's going to be healed just as Jesus healed everybody that he healed will die. Think about it. Everyone Jesus healed, they died. We have something much more precious than a cure for cancer that we can share with a lost and dying world, and it has to do with eternity. If we'll just simply share the gospel, the fruit of our witness. Push the leaves back. Tell me what you find. Jesus, when he pushed the leaves back, more importantly, what will he find? We find spiritual fruit or barrenness. It'll be one or the other. Let's pray. Father, we just want to humble ourselves before you. Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for the words that we've been able to sing. Words of praise and thanksgiving. Words that contain a message if we will listen. And for the privilege of opening your word and letting your word speak to our hearts and our lives. And Father, as we now have come to a time of opportunity to respond, one or two things will be true today. Those who are not bearing fruit will begin and have a desire to begin bearing fruit. And those who are bearing fruit will be encouraged to bear more. And perhaps, Father, there's someone here today who doesn't understand that their greatest need is that of a relationship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today would be a day of salvation for them. So whatever the need may be, we just want to thank you for one more opportunity to respond. We're not promised another. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity as your Holy Spirit speaks to hearts and lives. May we respond in a way that will bring glory to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.